Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Lori Smith. This is One Child Abuse Survivor to Another Restoration, and I'm glad to be here. I haven't been here for a long time. I sort of took 7 months off, and but I'm glad to be able to come back and do this, you know, this work here, and hopefully, you know, somebody will get something out of it. And I hope you're having a good night so far. And yeah, it's just been such a crazy 6-7 months. I'm not going to get into too many details, except for the fact that my terminally ill husband finally passed away. He was terminally ill for 17 years, and we had 23 years, wonderful life together, and he passed away last month, and so it's been a month and, like, 6 days or something. So, excuse me, it's only been 36 days. It's been a sad time, and, you know, I've got a lot more time now on my hands to do this stuff, and so I took the time off there, the 7 months off, because his health was going downhill. And we could see the writing on the wall, and I really wanted to spend that time with him. I knew that he was going, and, you know, it was pretty imminent. So I'm glad that I took that time to be with him and just spend that time with him. So, but I'm glad to be able to be back and doing this work. I need to continue on this work for me, for myself. Hopefully, like I said, it's helping other people out. We were looking at, if you go back to the last show, last several shows, actually, looking at some info that I found. I just popped it in the chat room there. It's from Hovoka.org. Looking at grief. And this is when I was working on this originally 7 months ago, I was actually already, I mean, I've been grieving for a long time because my husband's been terminally ill for 17 years. And I mean, he was everything to me, you know, my life, like just such a good man. He's my best friend. And, you know, I was already grieving and I was talking about all this grief work here and it was very difficult. I've been grieving for a long time, all of my life actually. And so this work is very important to do, but, I need to do it, and so this is almost timely here, you know, because I am grieving his, you know, the loss of him and just this loneliness of now, you know, my best friend and my partner in life is gone. And so not only that, but I'm grieving my childhood, the loss of my childhood. So it's really just a big grief session, but we'll keep it a little bit light. Not going to get too down here. This is a good information for survivors of abuse. If you're a survivor, you know, you have to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening to any of my shows. I say this on all of my shows. You know, you have to do a safety checklist. You want to make sure you're safe enough, just that this information isn't going to trigger you and send you backward in your healing journey, because that will not do you any good at all. So if you're not feeling safe enough to be listening to something about grief or something about sadness due to the abuse or these types of topics, you know, you need to make sure that you get that information on how to stay safe. And the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, they have a Survivor to Thriver manual. That's ASCA. I'm actually I have a group, an ASCA group, a lead group. And it's an online group. And that Survivor to Thriver manual is awesome. So I hope you'll get that information. That's one place you can get it. There's a whole lot of other places you can get safety first information. But just make sure you're safe enough to be listening, because otherwise I would not be offended at all if you turn the show off, because we're going to be talking about abuse and the aftermath of abuse, childhood abuse. And so you need to be sure that you're safe enough to listen so that you don't, like I said, you don't get triggered and go backward in your healing journey. So be sure and do that. Anybody else who's listening, you know, you have to listen at your own discretion. You have to kind of know what's good for you to listen to. And if you think the topics of abuse are going to bother you, then you need to just turn the show off and don't listen to it, because you wouldn't be hurting my feelings at all. Abuse, topics of abuse and child abuse and survivor issues are very, very disturbing for most people. If you haven't, you know, don't have any experience with this sort of thing, it can be very disturbing. So you have to do the right thing and make that decision for yourself, right? So we'll get right into this. I used to do the show in the mornings, but I found it was just too, it was getting to be just rushed, you know, and I thought I could do this in the evening. I used to do night shows too. And so I thought, well, I'll turn it into an evening, like a night reflection. So it's sort of the same thing, right? How am I doing on my healing journey? Any particular thing I need to work on? That we this is something we got to ask ourselves as survivors of abuse. You know, how are we doing on our healing journey? Are we working on it? Are there particular things that we really need to address right away? How are we feeling? I'm doing pretty good. I'm gonna, because I'm doing this work here with my adult survivor issues and whatnot, I'm looking at grief and sadness and all this stuff. I have to separate it from the grief that I'm experiencing because of my husband passing away. So I'm not going to talk about that side of it with these shows. You know, this is all about childhood abuse. This is what I focus on. You know, not so much focused on sort of what's going on in my life outside of that, even though it is part of it. I have to keep that grief separate, because it's two separate griefs. It's two separate situations. It's not the same thing. You know, I'm grieving my husband, but that has absolutely nothing to do with the grief that I'm experiencing because I was abused as a child. They're just two very serious griefs. So it's like I need to sort of handle them separately, not intertwine that stuff. And I think it's easier to deal with that way. So, yeah, I won't be talking too much about that. I want to focus on this article here from Havoka. And so the five stages of grief, this is where it all came from. That's Havoka, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, and HAVOCA.org. You can get this information there from their link and just scroll down and find their survivor information for survivors. It's called Five Stages of Grief, and they say first there's normal functioning, if we ever had any normal functioning. Then shock and denial, which is, you know, avoidance, confusion, fear, numbness, blame. We already went through that. Anger, frustration, anxiety, irritation, embarrassment, shame. That's all part of anger. We went through that. Now we're looking at sadness, which they didn't even list here, but I think it's depression and detachment, overwhelmed, blahs, lack of energy, helplessness. Then the next part is dialogue and bargaining, reaching out to others, desire to tell one's story, struggle to find meaning for what's happened, acceptance, exploring options, a new plan in place, and then returning to a meaningful life, empowerment, security, self-esteem, and meaning. And I am really close to that, in between the acceptance and the returning to meaningful life. I mean, I've come a long way. I used to be way back here, never shock and denial, really, but always starting with the anger and a lot of anger and a lot of rage and then depression along with it. So I've come a long way, but I've done a lot of work on this. And so, you know, everybody's in a different place, you know. So when you read these articles, you know, you just have to sort of, you know, some of it might not be helpful for you. Some of it might be, you know, it's sort of how it is for me when I'm looking at these things. Some of it's helpful, some of it's not. Some of it doesn't relate to my issues at all, and some of it does. So you have to, you know, just sort of take what's good and then leave the rest, right? So I just want to finish. I think this is almost the last part of this article, actually, and it's called, it's the grief part of it. It's called sadness. And I'm just reading right from their website. It says, grief, sadness comes when the person who was abused realizes that they were wronged and that they have lost something that will never be retrieved. It is very unpleasant, and many people seek to avoid the sadness phase. They prefer to stay angry and see that the sadness will show their weakness. All the time they remain angry, they maintain their sense of power. And they said here, holding on to this anger can be very damaging. It can mean that these victims maintain their anger and become abusive to others in stressful situations, such as arguments, because others do not hold the same views as them, particularly about child abuse, etc. They have learned that they were not responsible for their child abuse, but are not responsible for any of their actions. So without moving on to sadness, then the final stage also remains out of reach. And, I mean, I guess that makes sense. You know, the sadness part, I mean, I was thinking about that actually today, because I had to go back and see where I'd left off here 7 months ago. And I was looking at this next part a little bit, and I was thinking, yeah, I was just thinking the other day, you know, of the sadness, you know, just from the abuse, and really the sadness that I would never have my parents' love or approval or acceptance, and, you know, even, you know, I mean, just without even looking at the physical abuse, it was just the emotional pain, the psychological pain, the spiritual pain, you know, of just knowing that you're just unwanted, you know, it's absolutely horrific, right? And I think about it now because both my parents are passed away. They're both gone. And I sort of picture, like, well, did they go to heaven sort of thing, you know? And if they're there, like, what are they thinking sort of thing? Because I still remember the abuse. You know, it's not like I can't recall and remember all of the abuse, right? So it's a weird thing. It's sort of sad, you know, because I sit there and I think, well, on the earth, you know, I will have never experienced what I should have experienced from my parents, which was love and care and protection and concern. And, you know, it's really difficult, these sort of things. I mean, we can really delve into the topic of sadness, but I think most people know what it is, and so, you know, we won't stick around here, this part of it, very long. But it is it's a hard thing to get over, because I remember being about 31 years old, and right after my mom passed away, and just really having a meltdown, because I realized, like, this little inner person inside of me which was me from so long ago, this little child just wanting to be held and loved and cared for instead of beaten on and abused and mistreated in every way. And I just, this little, you know, person inside of me was having a meltdown, because they knew that because my mother was dead, she was never going to hear the words that she needed to hear. She was never going to be held by her. She was never going to be loved by her. This was a big meltdown that I had at the age of 31. And I never did any work until the age of 42, till I had the worst sort of breakdown that I've ever had before in my lifetime, which was hitting rock bottom there. And that's when I finally reached out and decided to get some help. But, I mean, I went a long time dealing with this stuff and pushing it back, putting it away. And until I was able to get to a point where I could look at it and actually look at it without hurting myself or hurting somebody else and work through it, I was never going to heal. So I like what they have to say there. I think that's really important. Without moving on to sadness, then the final stage also remains out of reach. I mean, that's true. I had to experience and feel it all and allow myself to do this in a safe environment. I think you have to be careful when you're doing this work and make sure that you're safe enough. Like I said, if you don't, you know, if you don't have a support person in your life that can help you, you know, there's anonymous support groups you can get involved in. I mean, whatever it is, but, you know, reach out and get some help. It's really difficult to do this stuff on your own. And I know when I finally started reaching out and getting help, I was so glad that I did, because I wasn't alone anymore in this despair. That's what I called it, despair, right? It was horrible. And so you want to be careful when you're doing this work, but, you know, if we don't do it, we can't really move on. And I think that's true. I like what they had to say there. So they go on to say, there's obviously much to be sad about when considering childhood abuse. As a result of abuse, the following have been lost, like innocence, self-worth, trust of others, sense of safety, time. During the sadness phase, people tend to become very sensitive. They cry for no reason or at the slightest provocation. And they said here, it's not surprising, really, when you consider how long some people suppress their sadness and pain. And this stage is only temporary and will pass, but is an important phase in the healing process. So that's true. And it's a harsh reality, you know, for survivors of abuse. You know, it's our world. And that's the sad part. It's almost like being in denial would be almost better, you know, like my sisters, I'm not going to name names here, but one of my sisters is in total denial. And, you know, she probably, that's the only way that she can deal, you know. And it's, you know, I almost, do I want to say I'm envious or jealous about that? Maybe part of me is, because, you know, I can't be in denial, right? It's just not my part of my makeup, right? I'm not, I never was in denial about the whole thing. And so, you know, for me, I'm just like, I'm just always thinking about it, or it's always bothering me, or it's always in the back of my mind, or these memories, you know, these flashbacks that I have. I don't have as many as I used to, but I do have some, and I can recall, you know, the abuse. You know, it's not like I forgot about what happened, and how it made me feel, and, you know, as a child, how I felt at the time, how I feel about it now. It is hard to live this way, you know. I'd almost think that it might be a little easier to be in denial. But then again, you know, she'll never really heal. And at some point it might come out. And actually, I mean, she's older than me, and it might, you know, I feel bad for her, because I don't know if she'll ever reach out. And I mean, it's a hard thing, right? Because it may hit her at some point where she might not be able to, you know, to put it in its proper place. Whereas I've had years and years of getting better. And I think that that's, to me, is a better idea than just not thinking about this stuff. So, but everybody has to do, you know, work at your own pace. Like, you know, you have to be careful. Like, it's taken me years and years and years to get through this stuff, to get where I am today. I mean, I didn't start the work until the age of 42. That's like 2007, you know, well, 41. So, you know, like, that's like 11 years ago. So it's taken me 11 years to get where I am today, and I've come a long way. But I still have problems. I still have difficulties dealing with this stuff. Like, just for instance, because of my husband passing away, all of the issues of the trauma related to my child abuse stuff is overwhelming me right now, because I'm triggered, because I'm feeling pain and I'm feeling sorrow, I'm feeling sadness, right? So that's making it worse, because I'm experiencing a lot of flashbacks and remembering the pain that my parents put me through. Not just psychologically, not just emotionally, but physically. And I sit there and I think, you know, then it almost is overwhelming. Because on top of that, I'm grieving my husband. So I need to separate them. I need to do the work on this a different time, and then grieve him a different time. And that way I can keep them separated, because otherwise it becomes just too much, right? And it's hard. It is very, very hard. And so, like I said, you want to make sure you get help when you're dealing with this stuff, and don't struggle on your own like I did for a long, long time. This is not funny. I also volunteer with NASCA. That's NAASCA, NASCA.org. That's National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And you got to check their website out. And there's resources on there, tons and tons of resources. You can get help. And, you know, you don't have to do a show or anything like that. You can go live or anything with you know, on Blog Talk. They have a Blog Talk Radio program, too, called Stop Child Abuse Now. Scan Blog Talk Radio with Bill Murray and the whole team of volunteers. Everybody's a volunteer, and it's like we're all survivors. So, and supporters of survivors. So you need to, you know, get help, whatever you do. But NASCA, NAASCA, that's a great website. Please check it out. There's some good info there. So anyway, they go on, they say, tears come difficultly at first, and maybe you will feel ashamed by them or try to repress them. Then they will seem to come from a very deep down place, and often accompanied by the feeling of being a very small child again. There's often a sense of loneliness and a sense of great loss. And that's true. And I know when I mean, I've had several sort of breakdowns in the past where, I mean, I thought that I wasn't going to be able to come back from, you know, because I was so, the woundedness was from so far down that it was just so incredibly painful. I really didn't think I was going to make it. And, you know, that's why I'm so glad I reached out and got help, because I haven't been there since. I do experience a sadness. I do experience loneliness and a sense of great loss, like they said here. Of course I do, and I recognize it. I think that's what's helping me out, is because I'm actually validating what happened instead of pushing it back. There's a sense of validation, you know, that, yeah, the reason I feel lonely and the reason why I feel like I have such a great sense of loss is because I was abused as a child horrifically. I just happened to live, make it, you know. And it's like my parents just didn't kill their children. They just abused them horrifically. So we're, you know, some of us are here. As a matter of fact, I lit a candle for two of my brothers. Today is the Suicide Prevention, World Suicide Prevention Day, September 10th, 2018. There's this IASP, International Association for Suicide Prevention, put this thing out and does every year of working together to prevent suicide. And this is awesome. It's World Suicide Prevention Day. So I lit two candles for two of my brothers because two of my brothers killed themselves. And this is kind of why I went public with my stuff in the first place, was because they were abused. I mean, I witnessed the abuse against, you know, towards them. They took their own lives, you know. And sadly enough, I contemplated suicide until the age of 42. So it's a big deal. I lit two candles for them, and nobody could reach them. It was sad. They just were lost. And people were, some people would put them down and say, oh, well, they were just losers. They were drug users. They were just waste of time. And it breaks my heart because these were boys. These two brothers of mine used to be little boys who were abused by their parents, my parents, who abused them horrifically and then allowed them to do drugs around the house, big drugs, heroin, you know. It allowed one of my older brothers to sexually abuse me. My dad didn't know about it, but my mom did. And, you know, he was just very sick, mentally ill, psychologically ill. The abuse, people don't realize the abuse that people, what people do to children, unless we speak out about it. That's why I do, right? And there's lots of people that would say, oh, well, no, your brothers were just drug addicts and losers. And, you know, sad for them that they killed themselves, but, oh, well, no big deal, no big loss. It was a big loss to me because my brothers, I saw them suffer in this family. I saw them suffer in our home. You know, I knew they were suffering. They knew I was suffering. We all knew each other were suffering. All of my siblings all, you know, we didn't band together because we were all suffering and struggling in that home. But, you know, it's very difficult, these things. Such a huge loss. You know, a great loss. The whole thing was a big loss for me. It's like you can never get it back, you know. And I think these are the things that I had to come to grips with, you know, is that, wow, I can never change this. It's never going to change. The abuse is never going to change. It's never going to go away. I can't make it go away. I'm going to have to learn how to live with it, right? Not die with it. My brothers learned how to die with it. They killed themselves. And I was heading down that road, too, until the age of 42. And so this is my message for you, you know, for if you're listening to this and you're a survivor, you know, you have to hang in there. You do, right? It's uncomfortable a lot of times. But until we make things better for ourselves, it's going to be uncomfortable. I mean, I still have problems dealing with stuff, too. And, it's hard. It is. But life is full of problems for everybody, even those people who were not abused, right? They have problems, too. We're coming from behind the eight ball. Because children who are abused have many more problems to deal with, too, on top of the regular life problems. So what I say to you is, you know, you're worth it. And your life does matter. And you do count. And so, like me, that's what I say about myself. I do count. I did not deserve to be abused. And I don't deserve to be treated, you know, horribly by anybody. You know, I treat people well. I treat people the way I want them to treat me. I deserve to have a good life, a decent life, you know. And it wasn't my fault that I was abused as a child, but now it's my responsibility to make sure I get my needs met. And this is the biggest deal, the biggest issue in this, is do we value ourselves enough to get our needs met? Two of my brothers killed themselves before the age of 35. They had a horrible life, both of them. And so not only were they abused as children, but then they went on and they allowed themselves to have this horrible a life as an adult because they couldn't cope and then killed themselves, you know. So, you know, and I was heading the same way. Even though I did want to live, I was just like, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to live. My parents set us up with this. Both of my parents were suicidal. My dad was suicidal, trying to commit suicide all the time. And also familicide, trying to kill us, right? And my mom was suicidal. So, I mean, what are you going to do when you grow up with this in the back of your mind all the time, right? This is a life issue for me that I face all the time. What keeps me here is the fact that I'm going to win this fight. this fight wasn't started by me. It was started by my parents, who started the fight with the abuse, you know, and the problems that they gave us through life, you know. But this fight, I'm going to win this fight. And how am I going to do that? By staying alive and taking really good care of myself and finishing the rest of my days trying to help other people who need help. That's the best thing I can think of doing. What a great loss, you know, just to throw a life away. So not only were my brothers abused, but they gave up, right? This is sad. So, you know, it's sad. This is the time that being held, you know, after, you know, crying and allowing ourselves to feel this stuff, this great loss, right? It's a time that being held will seem a very, very comforting. But that's only if we have somebody to hold us. See, now my husband's dead, right? He's gone. But that's okay, because now I have to do this for myself, right? Which I have been doing a lot of it, actually, all of it myself anyway. But he was great support. But the issue is I still have to do the work. And I still know that no one's going to hold that little child who I was, except for me, right? So I will talk some more about this stuff, you know, down the road. But you can get help, and you can have a good life. We all can. It doesn't mean, I'm not talking about a good life of, like, I'm not talking about situations like financial situations and stuff like that, man. You know, I'm talking about, we can learn how to live and how to enjoy life and how to love ourselves. That's the biggest, I think the biggest key right there, you know, is we can learn how to love ourselves. We can learn how to take care of ourselves and how to treat ourselves right, right? So they said here, later in the recovery process, those tears are followed with a sense of healing, coming together in wholeness. And they said here, you can do stuff like you can write letters, you know, regarding the things that we've lost because of the abuse, things like that. You can go check the rest of this article out, but it's pretty well done. That's Evoca.org, survivors, /grief, /sadness. You can check that out. We just have a couple minutes left. So we'll pick up next Monday night. I'm going to try to stick to the schedule. I know I've been gone for so long. I think people just stopped listening to my stuff, but that's okay. Hopefully, you know, if this helps one person, then it's worth for me to do this, right? And so, you know, it helps me out to do this, because it makes me stay on my healing journey and not put it off. I do a lot of meditations with a program called Your Envisioned Mind. And it used to be called Forget Talking Therapy, but I did a show on here a long time ago with this lady who created it, Beverly Searle, out of Australia, Searle, Beverly Searle. And she created a program along with another friend of mine called Your Envisioned Mind, and that really helped me out a lot. So, you know, we'll talk about that more later on down the road. But if you need information or resources, you can get a hold of me. And, you know, contact me here on Blog Talk Radio. You can get a hold of me on Facebook, wherever. And I just want you to stick it out. I want you to win this fight with me. I want you, like I said, on my, you know, on my show page there, win this fight with me, you know, because... Why? Because you're worth it. That's why. People would say, well, why do you keep doing that? Why? Because I'm worth it. I'm a person on the planet, too. I deserve dignity. I deserve care and love and connection and, you know, anything that I need so I can live a good and decent life, right? And so you do, too. So, you know, you do not give up. Not ever, 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 ever. Get help from, you know, whether it's anonymous help, crisis line, suicide hotline, call somebody. I want to be one of those people sitting on the suicide hotlines, you know. Eventually down the road, I probably will. So, you know, you take good care of yourself, because you sure deserve it. And we'll catch you next time. Have a nice night and a good week, everybody. We'll see you next Monday night. Bye-bye.